y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, a podcast that is by black gamers for black gamers. I am one of your hosts, the infamous hood rat with the heart of gold himself, Cortez Washington. I'm joined by a special guest. This person is a Jill of all trades. Almost said Jack. No, Jill of all trades. They are a content creator, Twitch streamer, voice actor, dungeon master. Please social enough for Persephone Valentine.
You forgot also I'm a hoe with a heart of gold, but hi.
Hoe with a heart of gold? I can't just call you a hoe. We just met.
Listen, I call myself a hoe all the time, and so does half the internet.
That's different. You know, it's like when like somebody you call your family member or something, but if somebody outside the family call them that, then y'all both got to jump them. You know, it's like
yeah,
that.
That's true. But I also take hoe as like a title. It's like an honorific, like, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, how they're always saying hi, ho, hi, ho. That's that them taking true. My title in vain.
So, yeah. Okay.
Like, I love it. I am the hi, ho.
Okay. You're the hi, ho. I love it.
Yeah. Like Daenerys takes things in fire and blood. I take it in fire and pussy, you know, same diff.
Yeah, yeah. Same difference. Yeah, I love it. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, you know, living, breathing, thriving. Blessed, yes. And highly favored. How about you?
Oh, the same. Burnt out from a long week of work, but always have more in the reserve for doing the podcast. So, and getting to meet and talk to great people. So that's what I'm happy. That's why I'm happy I'm here. All right. So let's get this ball rolling. I got one of the hardest questions that we ask on the show, which is, what is your first gaming memory? So like, what was the first game that you played where you were like, oh, shit, this is not necessarily is going to be like a career path or a pathway for generating revenue, but really just like a hobby and a lifelong hobby?
So I started playing video games when I was 3 years old.
Nice.
Yeah. So very early on, I was diagnosed at 2 with ADHD, which can tell you about what antics I got me diagnosed. But my mom realized very quickly that the things that could keep me still were video games and books, because I also started reading really early.
Nice.
So like as soon as she realized that, because she's a gamer and she got games for herself. And when she realized that I was super interested in them and like hovering around her as like a tiny little 3 year old, she would start letting me play. So the first game that I ever played was a very, very used copy of the first Legend of Zelda game.
Ooh. Yeah. Nice. Nice. Just a classic. You started out with a good classic, you know?
I did. Also, I tried replaying it a few years ago. That shit's hard. Yeah. I don't know how I beat it as a kid a couple of times, like as a like infant. But yeah.
Yeah. Them OG games were super difficult. It's interesting that the Legend of Zelda was like hard too, because it wasn't like an arcade. I don't think it was an arcade game for a while. Like it was like a home console game, but like a lot of those like games that were like on consoles, they were like arcade ports of like arcade games. So they were made for you to just throw more quarters in there. So like Contra
and shit. I actually don't know if it was ever an arcade game. It wouldn't surprise me, but it was like a lot of those arcade games were shorter. Or had like were made for replay value in a rapid scale. Zelda wasn't necessarily like, I mean, there was a second mode after you beat the game where all the locations and stuff and the map got warped, which is sort of like the inspiration behind like the Hero's Quest stuff or Master Quest stuff that they put in later games. But like, yeah, I think it's harder for me now because like hitboxes and stuff, I'm completely spoiled by modern gaming. Like,
yeah,
that little dinky sword does not reach.
Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. They were unforgiving back then. That was when they allowed people to smoke cigarettes in restaurants. So, you know, the world was a different place.
That is very true. Actually, I think by the time I started playing it, they had already introduced bans. Because when I say it was used copy, like, I mean it was used.
Yeah.
Like, it had been out for several years by then.
Yeah. Did it still have, like, the good label on it? Or was the label, like, kind of rubbed off a little bit?
Oh, I had... I'm so sad I don't have this now, but it was the gold edition copies.
Oh,
so like they were the gold covered ones that are worth money now. I had, I had, my mom bought the gold edition covers of the first two games. Zelda 2 was not fun. I hated that game so much. And also Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, both of which are worth a pretty decent amount of money now, and I don't have them anymore. It makes me want to cry.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to bring back gold editions of games. I feel like we lost that. I mean, they got like special edition steelbooks, but it's like, no, let's just like just do like a limited run of gold editions, like gold disc, gold case, you know.
I mean, I get it, but it's also like games are disc or cartridge now or digital download. And it's like, it doesn't have the same impact of like those old chunky cartridges just being gold. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sound like a boomer, but there was something so cool about just like you had a brick of gold in your hand.
Yeah.
It made things feel so expensive, you know?
And it felt worth it. And it felt worth the time that you put into it too. It was like, yes, like, cause it has value to me both like physically and like emotionally. And so, yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. All right. That was a good nostalgia trip. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you and like your origin story, like how you got on this pathway of like first, like with content creation or, you know, just like, and just expanding into like all the industries, all the things that you do now. Like it seems you're like a well-versed content creator, as well as like what, like, I really want to tap into like what it takes to be like a dungeon master. So like, but first, like your origin story, like how did you get on this path?
Let's see if I can cliff notes this.
You don't have to cliff notes. We don't have to cliff notes.
Well, we'll be here forever if I go into the full story. But realistically, my content creation started with the tabletop space. So like right before the pandemic, like a year before the pandemic, I started running games. I've been a player in various D&D and other tabletop games like World of Darkness for many years. I started in high school. But I didn't run games until about a year before the pandemic because I thought I couldn't. And I, once I started getting into like watching Dimension 20, which I later appeared on, and like NADPOD, that's when I was like, oh, I can do this. So I started running games. And my friends went bonkers for my games, and to the point where like they would tell their friends and I'd get requests for me to run games for them. And eventually that led to me basically doing my own podcast, Fast Times at D&D High. And by then, like, we started planning it before the pandemic, and then the pandemic hit as soon as we were supposed to start recording. So it then became a remote podcast. And then 6 months later, we started releasing episodes. We got noticed by Critical Role and were featured on Critter Hug. It made our downloads go bonkers. And that's sort of like how it got started. And then I expanded into like streaming and cosplay even before that, which I don't really do anymore because I don't have time. And then like sort of went from there.
Nice. So it sounds like it was really dope, like natural progression of just starting one in one aspect and then just expanding and building upon that, which is really, really dope.
Yeah, like, I have this problem called hyper focus where I have this problem where if I see like something that I think is cool or like a video that I think is cool, I'll watch everything of that video and then I'll eventually start thinking I can do it myself and then I'll just do it. It's kind of annoying.
Oh my goodness, I have that too. Like just hyper focus. Like just one day, just hyper focusing on just a particular activity, and then like I'll just do it and not stop, and like to the point where sometimes I won't eat or anything, and it's just like I need to get this done, you know. So
there's a certain level of crazy you need to have your own podcast. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Especially since like my podcast, one of the things that we were determined for was that it would be professional quality. So it's highly edited, has a lot of musical cues. We did line retakes from what we recorded if they were bad. Like I'm very proud of the work we've done on that podcast. It's over now. It's kind of on an eternal hiatus because, well, I mean, one of my players now is like in charge of all of Star Wars at Disney, in the Disney parks. And like another friend is just like really, really booked. So like, I can't bring back the players.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just rude though. Like who told you to go take over Star Wars though? You know, like what?
Hey, my friend Caro is just very, 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 they deserve it. They are an incredible writer, incredible actor. Just, they were always going to be doing big things. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's great though. I mean, that sounds dope as hell though. But like, you know, life is about, you know, enjoying the good time. We're here for a good time, not a long time. So why not enjoy the things that we can and appreciate the time that we had doing stuff.
Exactly. So, that's why I have no shame and I have nothing that I consider a guilty pleasure. Reality sucks. I'm going to get away from it as much as possible.
Absolutely. Yes. Because, yeah, why the fuck would I want to just be immersed in this all the time? I'd be so stressed out.
Like, yeah, you can't even throw fireballs in real life. How lame is that? You can't
throw fireballs in real life.
No. It's a big disappointment.
You can't jump up and hit floating bricks in real life either. Like, why aren't there no floating brick blocks? You know? Like,
bitch, you can't even double jump. Like,
yeah. Fucking damn. Double jump. Damn. So, are you still like doing some D&D stuff in your free time, or are you?
Oh, I still create tabletop content. Currently, we're in a hiatus for the main game that I play in right now, which is Shikar, run by that bronze girl. I will run games on the internet. I'm currently working on a new project that will not see the light of day for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing tabletop stuff alongside video game streaming and like all the other shit that I do and post on the internet.
Yeah, nice, nice, nice. So you you also are a writer. And so does the writing that you do, like, was that more just like D&D or was it more just like personal writing, maybe like
poetry
or what is it? Like, I mean, not to say like what is it, but like what is the range that you like to follow with that stuff as well?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. I'm not known for being a writer anymore, and it used to be like the thing that I was known for in real life is that I was the friend that was the writer. Mm-hmm. I don't write for various D&D or tabletop supplemental books because like usually you work with a team, and like I love doing collaborative storytelling in D&D and stuff, but when it comes to like writing, I'm a control freak. If I have something that's to be written, it's going to be a novel, or I'm going to write the supplement myself. I've done a few stints where I've like edited and made suggestions for tabletop books and like helped with those. But like, I don't know, man, like I could do it. It's just like, I know myself and I know that I am a perfectionist when it comes to that sort of thing. But like I've written everything. Like I've written books that I have not published because I don't think they're good enough. Again, that professional, like sort of like perfectionist tendency. Mm-hmm. My writing is probably the thing that I am, actually not probably, it's the thing that I'm best at in this world, and it's the one thing I don't have not publicly put out there yet.
Oh, that's a shame. You should expose that. You should let the world be able to, you know, take in the writings that you've done.
I will eventually.
Because, you know, eventually. When is eventually, though? I mean, not to put you on the spot.
You know, it is kind of, you are putting me on the spot, but you're right. Like, it's actually kind of sad. Like, I mean, I worked for fucking Penguin Random House for a little bit. I have connections to editors. Like, could probably get published. Like, I have connections to agents that could publish me. I have my own manager that could put me with stuff, and I just have not done it. Because I'm fucking scared, okay? Like, the one reason, like, writing is a thing that I put the most weight on and pressure on in my head. And it's, like, with the acting stuff and with, like, role play stuff, it's just, like, not being able to care is so powerful. Like, you can be good at something and just, like, just fucking do it. It's, like, writing is different for me. Plus, I've been very focused on, like, improving my TikTok and Instagram and all that jazz since my main following is on Twitter, and it is no longer Twitter.
It's X.
I'm about to be an X member.
Yeah, X, yeah. Oh my God, it's fucking X, like a fucking shitty rave that you attend that your friend said was really cool.
It's the most edgelord bullshit.
Yeah.
On the fucking planet. Like, Elon Musk is like a Tumblr teenage incel, I swear to God.
Yeah, definitely. It's
like, I'm gonna rename this X. Like, the logo sucks, first of all. It has no brand identity anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Twitter was stamped. There's a reason it was so popular. Like,
yeah.
How does someone screw up the bag that much?
He wants it to be cool like everything else, but he doesn't understand Twitter has always been cool. And he's like, it could be cooler if we did it like this. And it's like, no, because you don't understand Twitter. You never.
It's not really just being cooler. It's not just being cooler. He wants to silence the voices that annoy him on Twitter.
Yep. And he wants it to be for him and his folk who gargle his ego.
Yeah, his ego and nothing else. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, that is the biggest thing he probably has.
Yeah. But fuck him. He don't get our time. This is our time.
I'd rather not fuck him, to be honest.
No.
There's not enough money in the world to make me fuck him.
Yeah. Disregard him. There we go.
Yeah.
But it sounds like like the writing, like, is your passion, and it really is like a piece of you. It sounds like more, not necessarily like everything else wasn't a piece of you, but the writing itself is more of a piece of you that you're exposing to the world. And so therefore it is like harder to let that out. And I completely understand with that. When it comes to like in my free time, I like create music, like producing and stuff, and it's always hard for me to just let it out to the world, because you don't ever want somebody to say like, ah, it's okay, and then you're like, it's okay, you know what I mean, fucking hours I spent on this, it's not okay, it's magnificent,
you know. It's not actually for me, it's more, it's not the fear of criticism, it's the fear of success. Because my degree is in creative writing. I've been through the fucking ringer of criticism. I've been through the ringer criticism with, like, I've had best-selling authors tell me I need to be published at this point. But it's mostly, it's a level of exposure and vulnerability that's involved. And obviously anything that goes out is going to be edited to fuck. Which, by the way, if any of you out there write, do not be your own editor. You will not catch everything.
Yeah.
Editors exist for a reason. You can be the best writer in the world, and if an editor hasn't looked at your shit, it's gonna suck. But like, I think I just get so afraid of exposing something that means so much to me in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, don't get me wrong, I love all the content creation stuff I do. These projects mean a lot to me. But like, I can also put it out there and someone can say it's terrible and I just don't give a fuck. You know? Like, I mean, not every review of my podcast was positive.
Yeah.
A lot of them were. But, like, not every review is positive. And, like, also, it came out right on the heels of a major D&D controversy. So we took a lot of flack for doing a D&D-based podcast. We got a lot of criticism for not using another system. And which our response, which my podcast was pretty diverse. Like, it was me, another Black woman, an Asian woman, and we had two token whites that were impressively queer, no men whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was just like, you're gonna tell my Black ass that I can't play a game system that I fucking have been playing since I was a child just because some white man fucked up Mike Merles at the time? And I'm just like, you're not gonna tell me that shit.
Yeah, we navigate fucked up systems all the time.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you ain't gonna get me to do fucking shit, buddy.
Yeah.
But so I just didn't address it. I didn't care. But that's just one example. Like, the thing about putting stuff up online is that if you don't have haters, you're not getting popular. The more popular you get, the more people are gonna hate you for it.
Of course.
You know? So, like, that's a sign of success.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And I appreciate that viewpoint on it, too. Because you can't let the world dictate how you're gonna do your thing and with the passion that you have or something. Because if that's the case, you will never do anything ever, because everybody has something, a different opinion about everything. So it's
especially
like,
especially when you're Black, especially when you're trans, especially when you're XYZ, ABC, not white, not cis, not anything, not het, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they always got some shit to say.
Always got something to say. First of all, you can't please anybody. You definitely can't please the ruling class, because they don't even know what they don't even please themselves about being of abiding by those not unrealistic expectations that they have placed upon themselves and everybody else. So
mm-hmm.
there, you just can't fucking do it. So yeah, shout out to you.
There's a Well, thank you. I mean, you're also putting yourself out there by having this podcast. I mean, being unapologetically black is not easy.
No.
Believe me. I know.
Yeah. Fuck them niggas, though. I don't give a damn. I've been black my whole life. I ain't got shit else to do. What I'm gonna do? Not be black? I'm black as fuck. Like,
yeah, like what are you gonna do, Reyes? I am so fucking light skinned that like half the people think I'm like not black, and I have to be like, I'm black. Yeah, my mom's white, but like cops ain't gonna see me as white. Fuck you.
No, they're not.
Yeah. That said, being light skinned and mixed is high privileged position. Don't get me wrong. But like racism's still a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking suck.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's like we never had the opportunity to like blend in or hide.
No.
That's never been a thing for us. It's always been you're here. We see you. Oh shit, here they come. It's like, yep, here I fucking come now. You know, it's like whatever. So I've never like at one point in time I did follow that. Which is sad, because you know, like when you have other older generations, like don't ruffle the feathers too much, da 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 da. But then it's like, ruffling feathers or not, they still gonna be like, they still gonna clutch their purse in my black ass, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at. They still gonna clutch their pearls. They're still gonna make sure their wallet's in their pocket. You know, they're still gonna.
They're still gonna cross the street.
They're still gonna cross the street. Yeah, they still gonna follow me in the stores, asking me if I'm okay. It's like, yes,
oh God, that happens. That happens in every store to me.
Yeah, it happens to me too. And then when they realize I'm nice, they're like, oh shit, well I guess I shouldn't have followed him, I feel bad. And it's like, yeah, fucker, because I was about to steal those socks, but you know, you fucking followed me, now I gotta pay for them and shit. I mean, I got the money to pay for them, but why not take them?
I just, whenever that happens, I'm like, so one of the things that I'm known for is it's gonna sound arrogant, but I'm known for dressing in a particular way. And like, if I was gonna steal, I would not be wearing Sitch and stilettos in fucking like Sephora, okay? I would not have blonde weave down to my fucking asshole, okay? Like what you think I'm gonna steal?
Yes.
You think I'm capable of doing? You think I'm not the most obvious thing in the world?
I'm 6'1", 230 pounds with dreadlocks down to my neck. You think I'm about to steal this polo from Marshalls? No, I need it for work. Thank you very much. I'm trying to be a fucking law-abiding citizen. You pissing me off. Like, maybe I should take this. I don't know. No. I don't want to fulfill your fantasy, you six fuckers.
No. Yeah. But there's also, like, alongside that, there's also, like, beyond just the old guard being like, you don't want to raise waves and stuff like that, which, like, is understandable. There's also like the whole period of like, not every black person goes through this, but I definitely do. Like, especially if you're raised in like a mostly white area, or like there's so much internalized racism that happens, and like you just want to be quiet and not raise anything. And so such bullshit. Like, I went from living in like a city to like in eighth grade, we moved to like the suburbs, and it was just completely different, and I felt so much shame. Like it was really rough, like dealing with that, and it took years, and I'm still dealing with like getting past that mental block of like not being good enough because you aren't like Casper, the friendly ghost, or the unfriendly ghost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Eternalized racism is rough, and I'm so sorry you had to deal with that, you know. I feel like we don't tell each other sorry about that. So sorry you had to deal with that, because that shit fucking sucks, especially as a teenager. Mm-hmm. You like coming into your own and really embracing it, and like and coming to your own identity, and then just to have that one piece of your identity be like hating a part of you is like so fucking, oh my God, it sounds like. And that's just one, and that's just me relating to you on the black thing. Like, I know that even just being trans and going through that pathway too, that's something I could never understand fully, and I'm just sorry that you had to deal with both of those things, like especially just how the community is and like how places are that fucking do that shit. It's just
it blows. But I mean, there's like, to go on the positive note, the fact that I've dealt with all these intersectional layers of fucking bullshit means that I'm qualified to speak about them. Like, one of the things like I do in my professional life, like one of my aspect of my day job is education, like educating people on like civil rights and like racism and like LGBTQIA stuff and like disability rights. Like I teach that. And like the reason I'm able to do that is because I grew up with the understanding of what it means to be othered in so many ways. And what it means to your own mental pathways. And like, that's something that I even talk about on my streams. Like, one of the reasons that I like love streaming so much is that like, it gives me an outlet to talk to people, not just through gaming, which is one of my favorite things, but also to show people like, you can be this way and thrive. And also like, this is a place where you can come and experience like safety. Like it's like, it's a safe space online. My mods are very, very good. Like, and like, the other thing too is that like, it's funny. Like I simultaneously hate when people conflate Black experience with trans experience, because they're different. There is some crossover in like the fact that it's mostly, for the most part, appearance-based discrimination. Like it's discrimination based on how you look and how you present. But like, it's, you got to talk about the way that they cross over to make things better, because like, I mean, let's be real, like the Black community like is very polarized on the subject of trans folks. It's it can be pretty rough out there. Like effing Jeff Salarius just went on a rant about trans women the other day, and I'm just
fuck her.
I mean, it sucks, because like I used to watch her videos, I used to think she was funny, but like I mean I don't need to drag her because T.S. Madison did a great job. She fucking grabbed her by what little edges that bitch has and fucking dragged her across the pavement.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's also, it's like, I love transphobia that comes from women that get transphobic comments. Because a lot of people, this is, I don't think this is right, obviously, but a lot of people like throw transphobia at Jess Larius because like they're hateful, and because like trans misogyny, like one of the groups that it affects deeply is cis Black women, because their femininity is taken away by layers of racism and misogynoir. So like it's like they get hit with transphobia just as much as like we do. And well, I get hit with both layers because I'm Black and trans, but you know what I mean? It's like, but a lot of people don't see that for what it is.
Thank you for that. A lot of people need to hear that. Hopefully, you know, people listening to the show understand that this is one of those spaces where we can, where people can say these things too. And thank you. I feel like I should have paid for that, honestly. Like, this is your job, so I feel like I should have just paid you.
Honey,
for
it, I get paid for it enough. Don't worry about it.
Okay. One thing I want to do before we get into the gaming was really talk about your like hyper focus. I know you talked about it a little bit earlier. What is something that you do to like maintain that focus and maintain that like tunnel vision to get projects done? Because I know that's a thing I struggle with, and I know that people that probably listen and struggle with a bit too. So I really want to hear what you do.
Honestly. Medication. I mean, I have ADHD, and like honestly, getting ADHD meds, even when you're diagnosed right now, there's a shortage. It's hell. But that's the thing that's helped most. But the other thing too, the hyper focus is, my hyper focus at least, is an aspect of my ADHD. And regardless of whether I have meds or not, if I enjoy something, like I can't stop doing it. Like I did a 16-hour stream of Baldur's Gate 3 yesterday.
Hey.
And I was just like,
damn, that shit just came out too.
Literally. They just did the full release yesterday. I was like, I took the day off of work. I was like, I'm gonna start streaming. I started streaming at 10 in the morning. I was supposed to stop at 10 at night because I knew I was gonna focus on for a while. I didn't stop until like 2-3 in the morning.
That's good. I miss those gaming sessions where you just like just game just straight through the day. And I'm happy to hear that you've had that fucking experience. Damn, that's nice.
Oh god, it was worth it. It was worth it. I mean, the UI of that game is really clunky, but it hits like the like craving I've had since I played Dragon Age Origins for like a good CRPG.
Oh, nice.
But like the UI, and also there's this like, weird echo voice effect on the voice acting that I think is stupid as hell, but like otherwise it's a good game.
Cool. Yeah. And that's a good segue into the games we're playing. I mean, you just played Baldur's Gate. You just literally just got Baldur's Gate and threw in 16 hours in it.
Yeah.
What were you playing before that, though, that really had your interest?
I'm all over the place. Let me think off the top of my head. Hades has been off and on an interest for a while. One of the first ways that I became, like I got my first, like, sort of boost of following on Twitch was by speedrunning Hades.
Nice.
I do a shit ton of Pokemon challenge runs, Nuzlocke, and other type of things. Like, I do a lot of Pokemon content to the point where I think actually that, like, I think most of my viewers would be happy if I just did 100% Pokemon content all the time. Other than that, like, I'm a big fan of BioWare RPGs, like Mass Effect, Dragon Age series, JRPGs. I fucking love, like, the last one was that, like, really held my attention was the Trails of Cold Steel series. Persona 5 Royal is probably my favorite game of all time. And that shit's long. I tried streaming that shit. Too long. And now I'm doing Baldur's Gate, which is probably even worse. But, like, I the other reason, too, is that, like, I would, Persona, one of the things that I do on my stream is that I'm a voice actress, and my voice goes all the way up here to all the way down here. So, like, I will voice, like, retro video games and stuff, and, like, I tried voicing all the lines in Persona 5 that aren't voiced, and my voice gave out, and I could not do it anymore. So, yeah.
Damn, that was your body saying, hey, chill. Hey, chill out. We can't keep doing this.
It was basically my body being transphobic. Me like, don't do those deep voices anymore. Don't do them deep voices anymore. You know they hurt. Like, you know they gonna break you. Bitch, we transitioned. Why are you still doing that shit? And I'm like, because it's fun. Okay, yeah. Not everyone can do that sort of thing. And that's also one of the reasons that I am a good DM is because I do massive amounts. Every character, every NPC I have has a unique voice. Whether it's an accent, tone, pitch, nasality, like, they all have different voices. I think by the time my podcast had ended, I had, of the release episodes, I had over 60 different unique character voices that were in there just from my NPCs.
God damn.
Because we counted one day.
Ooh, 60. You was on 60. Yeah, you need a big check. You need to get a big check. Somebody needs to get you on there. You need to be.
I lost so much money on that podcast.
Yeah, you need to get on somebody's show or something. Some type of, if you're gonna be.
I mean, I've done voice acting work. The last thing I mean, I was a lead in a small video game called The Road to Innsmouth recently. That recently released like this past year. And I got auditions that I actually need to send in this weekend for. I got an audition for something that I really want. So, like, cross your fingers for me.
Yes, fingers crossed.
I'm also crossing my legs because that never happens. But I'll do anything for a check.
Okay. What was that game name again? I want to look it up so then I can include it. I want to link it in the podcast.
Oh, Road to Innsmouth.
The Road to Innsmouth?
Yeah, it's like an Arkham Horror, like, based, like, Lovecraftian computer game.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Shit, yeah. I'm gonna fucking, there it is. God damn it. I found it. Okay, sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Yes. Yes. All right, cool. What are some games you looking forward to? Because I know Baldur's Gate was one of the big releases. First of all, can we just talk about how amazing this year has been for gaming? Like, it's been some fucking bangers coming out.
There really, really, really has been. There's so many. Like, my mind is drawing a blank because, like, we had, like Scarlet and Violet from Pokemon. We have fucking, like, oh, God. Oh god, my mind is drawing a blank now.
Oh, I got you. But there's so many. I'm looking at it right now.
Please, thank you.
Dead Space remake, Mortal Kombat 1, that's coming out. Resident Evil 4 remake, Remnant.
Right, yeah, that was huge.
Remnant 2 is banging on mm-hmm. on Steam right now. Metroid Prime Remaster came out this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Did it come out already?
I think it came out already.
Oh, Hades 2 is coming out to early release Hades 2. Sometime this year.
Metroid Prime Remaster came out in February. God,
really?
Yes.
I
didn't know
it. Damn.
Oh my God.
Honestly, the last few years have been like light for me for games that I've wanted to play, but like the last like year, like up until this point, like have mm-hmm. been, it's like a lot of bonkers announcements. Although I'm a little bit bitter because one of my favorite games was supposed to get a remake and it's in developmental hell now, so I'm pissed.
Which game is that?
The Legend of Dragoon remake.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think the studio that was doing the remake got bought out and now we don't know shit. So
damn, that always sucks when they get bought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to name some more games too.
Oh, Diablo. We're also getting Super Mario RPG remake.
Super Mario RPG remake. Super Mario, is Super Mario Wonder coming out this year too?
I think so. Oh, and as you, before I cut you off, sorry. I had like a brain blast moment. Diablo 4, probably.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that.
Yeah, Diablo 4, massive, massive game.
Yes.
Honestly, playing Baldur's Gate 3, I think they're probably going to go to war for Game of the Year unless we see something really huge. Oh, also, has it been? I think it's officially been a little bit over a year since Elden Ring was released.
I think so, yeah. Shit. Yeah. Street Fighter 6? Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, Guilty Gear Strive. It's only been like a year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of my favorite sleepers was BattleBit Remastered. It really filled my FPS little hole in my heart. Oh, do you play FPSs, first-person shooters?
No, I'd be such a bigger Twitch streamer if I did. I have, so FPSs are like a smorgasbord of like bad things for me. Not because I'm like shooting things, like I would love to play COD and shoot Nazis, but I have weird issues with depth perception in games, so I always kind of suck at FPSs.
Oh.
I want to give them a shot again because I'm a little bit older, but like it's so hard for me to like get like situational awareness, so I always get fucking my cheeks clapped. So that's also why I don't stream like Overwatch or anything, because like I tried a couple of times to play with my old roommates. They were like, "You can do it." I was like, "No, I can't.
Yeah. I like the statements, getting my cheeks clapped is the funniest thing, because it's like it's both like a very good positive and also a extreme negative. It's like, damn, I got my cheeks clapped. And it's like, in what way? Can you explain a little bit more, please?
Listen, there's a reason why the transparents keep stealing all of our shit and trying to say it's TikTok language.
Oh,
like multi-use languages, like most multi-use languages, like language usage from our people. Like,
yeah,
it's all over the place.
Yeah. So you said Super Mario RPG, a couple others. What is another game you're looking forward to that's coming out this year?
Or honestly, next year? Honestly, when the Super Mario RPG remaster got announced, I gushed. I was wet. I was dripping.
That's what's
I loved that game. Listen, that game was one of my first RPGs. My childhood friend David lent me his copy when I was 6 years old.
Damn.
I played the shit out of that game. I fucking love that game. I cannot fucking wait for that. That's and then obviously like Baldur's Gate 3 just dropped, and like I wasn't really interested in it until like really recently, even though it's literally D&D the game.
Yeah.
It's exactly D&D. Like to a T. If Dragon Age 4 ever actually gets released, I'll be all over that.
Oh shit, Starfield's coming out this year too.
Oh yeah, Starfield! So Starfield, I am a hair's breadth away. A hair's breadth away from getting an Xbox One just for that game.
Xbox, are you gonna buy an Xbox One?
Oh wait, not an Xbox One. What's the most recent one?
The Series S or X. I got the S.
Listen, I do not keep up with Xbox, okay?
I know.
That should tell you something.
It don't make no sense either. Xbox, it was like Xbox One, Xbox One X. It went Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox One X, One S, Xbox One X, One S all digital. So the Xbox One sad. Then Xbox Series S and X. Which, what the fuck are you talking about?
The last Xbox I bought was a 360. And because I gotta be real, I'm a Nintendo and PlayStation girl.
Okay.
Or a PC gamer kind of girl.
If you to keep it funky, you can just get Starfield for PC.
Is it on? I thought it was an Xbox exclusive.
No, it's PC. Microsoft.
Oh, thank God. I'm getting the shit out of that game.
Yeah.
One of my friends told me it was an Xbox exclusive and was talking about how they need to get an Xbox for it. And I'm like, bitch.
No.
Also,
Microsoft's off that.
It makes sense because I can't understand the financial decision to be like, I'm going to put my game as an Xbox exclusive. Like, No.
Yeah, Microsoft is about the ecosystem now. They're like, fuck the console wars. We already took an L, went through Xbox One. They said, just come in the fucking ecosystem. Look, here's Game Pass. Here's cloud gaming shit. Just buy it. We don't give a fuck.
Buy it, please. Please, yeah, please. We're begging you. Please. Buy me, daddy. Buy me.
Yes, that's really it. It's like, oh, you like cloud gaming, but the graphics suck? Well, you know what it'd be better on? A fucking Xbox, you stupid motherfucker. Buy one. $500. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Take it. Please. Please.
Yes.
We want to be inside your house so bad.
Yes. They keep, there's so many rumors about this fucking, the Xbox streaming box. I don't think it's going to happen just because, like, I mean, it is going to happen, but not like, I don't think this year. But one thing.
We'll see.
Did you hear about the Nintendo leaking? Like, they're going to release a console next year?
The Switch 2? Or what they're currently calling the Switch 2. Who knows if it'll actually be called the Switch 2.
I just hope to God that we can fucking use the same cartridges and shit. Or games can transfer over from the eShop.
Backwards compatibility.
Yes, because they always do this with a new console. They say, no, thank you. Well, no, the Wii and the Wii U work together. And then the first version of the Wii worked with the GameCube. But other than that, everything else was like, fuck you.
Well, I mean, certain versions of the PS5 are now backwards compatible with PS4. But that took years of people being like, why the fuck can't I play these games?
They were saying that one thing was like, I guess they made, long story short, they made the PS3 stupid. And so it's so complicated to like emulate PS3 games that it was hard. It didn't make sense to make it backwards compatible because it would have been super expensive. So that's what really happened. Honestly, Sony shit the bed and now they're trying to rectify it by emulating PS3 games. Via the cloud, which sucks. No one wants to emulate games from the cloud. That's stupid. It's terrible. The internet infrastructure in America is horrible. People can't even, there's people in living in big metropolitan cities that can't even get 50 megabytes per second.
So why
the fuck would you have us streaming games, you stupid? You know what? I gotta stop because it's a global market. It ain't just the U.S.
Yeah, who knows when you're gonna get? Well, I mean, places. I think Iceland has like universally almost perfect Wi-Fi, but
yeah,
for South free.
South Korea got free Wi-Fi. Mexico City got free Wi-Fi. Like what the fuck?
Bitch, like, I fucking hate these companies.
Yeah, it's all a big conglomerate. It's all about money. But all right, cool. So, not to go on another political rant, because I could do that all day. So, we're getting close to the end of the episode, and this is where the guests can give off some words of affirmation and some really uplifting and encouraging words to the audience. So, this is the time I take a step back and you step up. So, the floor is yours.
Don't let anyone tell you you're not good enough. And being black is a gift because you know some of the hardships of this world and you can choose to fight and make them better because nothing feels more powerful than making the world your fucking bitch.
I like
that. Work?
Yeah, I like that. It was soft, but also a good gut punch to the fuckers out there who think that they can step all over us. So nice.
Listen, it's fucking hard out there, but like what is the choice when you're black? Do you lay down and die, or do you fucking face up and fucking take what is rightfully yours?
Absolutely.
You have to. There's no choice. There's no appeasing anyone else. You have to do what makes you happy and do it as aggressively as possible and make the world notice. And that's all you can fucking do. And whether or not they notice or not, you'll be happier for it.
Hell yeah. All right. Now this is the second hardest question I have for you.
Okay.
Name 5 games that you think everyone should know.
Okay. Let's see. Dragon Age Origins. Persona 5 Royal, like I've mentioned before. Legend of Mana, controversial okay. point. Legend, not secret, controversial opinion.
Okay.
I think everyone should have to suffer through Kingdom Hearts at least once.
Oh, the first one?
All of them.
Oh, god damn! That's like 80 games!
And also, this last one's going to be a funny answer, because if you play it, you'll see Bait and Kaitos.
Bait and Kaitos?
Oh, yeah. Bait and Kaitos. Yeah, play Bait and Kaitos. It's actually getting a remaster or re-release at some point. I forgot about that.
It's coming out next month on the Switch.
Listen to me. I think that they're releasing it without the American voice acting, but if you get a chance, play it with the English voice acting. Let's just say, like, anyone that's played Final Fantasy X and complains about the voice acting in that, you ain't seen nothing.
This takes the cake. Okay.
Oh my god. It is like, the reason I say everyone should play it is because it is like C-level horror movie bad without being horror. Like it's so bad it's hilarious. It's so funny. Please do it. It's so bad that when the remaster comes out, me and my friend are actually gonna like mute whatever Japanese voice acting is in there and voice it ourselves because we do a better job.
Oh, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, I think they cut the voice acting, the English voice acting from it, if I remember correctly. I don't think they redid it for the remaster, or they weren't saying they were doing it over again, so. Yeah.
Cool. Ah, Persephone, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Where can the people find you on the socials, and what can they expect when they tune into your content?
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and X. As well as Blue Sky and Threads and TikTok. Did I say TikTok and Twitch? But whatever. Yeah. Those two. At Persephora. That's Persephiroth. Like me, the goddess of the underworld, combined with Sephiroth. Because I am the big titty one-winged angel of death on YouTube and Twitch. So that's where you can find me. And as far as my content, I'm loud, I'm brash, I'm horny, I swear a lot.
Sounds like a good time. And if you want to find us on the socials, you can find us at UBG Pod on fucking X.
It sounds like you're sending them to a porn site. Like yeah. You're sending them to X videos or something.
Yeah, you can find us on X, better known as Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Get more free time in my schedule, which means I'm going to start fucking streaming, like I said, 6 episodes ago. So, you hear me now. It's going to happen. And once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And as always, be happy, drink some water, and keep gaming.
And moisturize.
Yes, moisturize. It's summertime. Don't just be out here ashy. I don't give a fuck if you're sweating. Moisturize. Damn,
I've broken up with people who don't moisturize.
Good.
I know, right?
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. Goodbye, y'all.